Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Well, welcome to Season 11, if you can believe it. Today we start off with this question. What do the following phrases have in common? All that glitters is not gold, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, and gilding the lily. Now, before you tax your brain with attempting to come up with some obscure link between the Prince of Morocco looking for love in Venice, three weird witches manufacturing mayhem on a Scottish heath, or the poisoning of an unceremonious usurper of the English throne, eagle-eared listeners will know already that something is not quite right here. In fact, what the previous phrases from The Merchant of Venice, Macbeth, and King John respectively all have in common can be summed up in one of Uncle William's words. They are all a misquote. Ironic that William would conjure a word that would become so common when referencing his own works. But we are getting ahead of ourselves. And to misquote the ghost of Hamlet's father to his son in the bedchamber scene, get on with it already. And so we shall. Now, to do so, we must rejoin once again William's very unhagiographic history of the Henrys. They weren't saints after all. To the first part of his Henry IV. A brief recap. King Henry is struggling to keep control of his kingdom amid a rising rebellion. The fiery Hotspur, Henry Percy, defies the crown, prompting a civil war. Meanwhile, the king's son, Prince Hal, neglects his royal duties in favor of low-life company, chiefly among them the gloriously disreputable Sir John Falstaff. Despite appearances, Hal does plan to reform, and he proves himself by joining his father's side as the rebels prepare for the battle near Shrewsbury. On the eve of the battle, King Henry and Hal meet with the rebel leaders where a peace offer is extended. However, in Act 5, Scene 2, Worcester and Vernon pretend to consider the offer, but intend to withhold the message from Hotspur, fearing peace would spell their political end, and that no matter how they act because they are so mistrusted, their very looks and manner will be misread, misrepresented, misquoted, to fit the narrative that they are not to be trusted.
Oh, no! My nephew must not know Sir Richard, the liberal and kind offer of the king.
To a best he did.
Then are we all undone. It is not possible, it cannot be, the king should keep his word in loving us. He will suspect us still, and find a time to punish this offense in other faults. Supposition, all our lives shall be stuck full of eyes. For treason is but trusted like the fox, who ne'er so tame, so cherished and locked up, will have a wild trick of his ancestors. Look how we can, or sad or merrily, interpretation will misquote our looks.
Now the word quote comes from the late 14th century coton, meaning to mark or annotate, which was derived from the old French coti, which in turn came from the, you guessed it, Latin quotare and quotus, which translates into which order. The addition of miss comes from the Proto-Germanic missa, meaning divergent, wrong, or astray. And speaking of keeping things orderly and not going astray, the actual quotes from the beginning of our adventure are, "All that glisters is not gold, double, double toil and trouble, and to gild refined gold, to paint the lily." And you most definitely can quote me on that. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.